Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. We thank you that you have given us the Holy Scriptures, that we might diligently study and meditate in them on a daily basis, so that we may come to the knowledge of the truth that will make us free. Free from the enemy that we have to contend with here on earth, the devil who is a liar. Thank you, Holy One, for the truth that you unveiled to us this morning out of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you also, Lord, for giving us the grace to be doers of your word, so that we may profit thereby. As it is written, we humble ourselves to you, mighty one, and we simply pray this morning, speak, Lord, for your servants hear you. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us into the truth that the Father has for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 18. Let's just read together the 10th verse. That's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Let's go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Let's read it one more time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Once again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Amen. Praise God. This morning we are sharing on what I've simply titled, Your Place of Safety. Say to your neighbor, there is a place of safety for you as a believer. Say to someone else, there is a place of safety for you as a believer. God prepared a place for you, and he wants you to learn to run into that place every day of your life for your safety. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is the truth, as we just read in verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, Bible says, and they are saved. You see, there is an assurance of safety there if we take the steps to run into that name. You see, running into the name of Jesus means there is an effort required on our part. You know, if you are going to run to a place, you are not going to get there by standing still or folding your hands. When you run into a place, you are making steps of motion, so to say. You are moving in a direction. When you are running towards a place, you have a goal. And so you begin to move in that direction as fast as you can, so that you can get there. You see, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is what God has given to us as a place of our safety, and we have to understand that very clearly, and we have to know how to run into that name. The initial confession of Jesus as our Savior and our Lord opened the door for us to come into that name, and for us to be part of the people of God who have the right to use the name of Jesus. But then from that point onwards, we have to understand how to daily apply ourselves to that name and take advantage of the security that God has placed in that name for us who believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, why did God, you know, give us this name if we don't need it? In fact, let's talk quickly. Put your finger here. We are coming back to it. See, it's all because we have an adversary. It's as simple as that. If there was no adversary, then we don't need any strong tower. You see, you don't need a place of defense if there is no war. You don't need a place of security if there is no danger. You see, the reason why we need a place of security is because there is a danger. There is someone who is trying to harm us. And God has prepared for us a place of safety where we can run to and be saved from the enemy who wants to harm us, who wants to injure us. You see, Bible says the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And God has planned for us as his people a place of safety where the devil will never be able to succeed in killing us or stealing from us or destroying us. It's as simple as that. So we have to know clearly where we belong as Christians. So there is an adversary, and God has given us the means to overcome him at all times. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 10. And we see here that while Jesus was alive, as Bible records, there was a time he sent out his disciples, 70 of them, two by two, into every city that he himself was going to go afterwards. And he told them to go and proclaim the message of the kingdom everywhere they went. And then they returned back to him in verse 17. They went just as he sent them, and then they came back to give him a report. But look at what they said. Verse 17, Luke chapter 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Please underline that in your Bible. All the devils they encountered, all the demons they encountered, as Jesus sent them, they went. And in the process of going, they encountered different kinds of devils. And I tell you, as long as we're in this world, we are going to have encounter with all kinds of activities of the evil one. Because he's in this world. He's in the world. He's the God of this world. And he's deceiving the whole world, as Bible says. But thank God you and I are not under his deception. Because we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood. Bible says the forgiveness of sins. So we don't belong under the authority of the devil, and the devil knows it. But you see, because he is a liar and a lawbreaker, what he tries to do is to get us to be separated from the word of truth, so that then we can buy into his lies. You see, that's the way it works. He knows he has no authority over Christians. The devil knows. He knows the Bible more than many lazy Christians. But you see, he's very cunning and crafty. He knows that as long as you stand upon the word and you are living by the word, there is absolutely nothing he can do against you. In fact, the Bible tells me in James chapter 2 that the devils believe the word of God and they tremble. When they see you with the word, they begin to shake because they know that the word will cut them. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So what they try to do is to block you from accessing the truth that is in the word of God. That's why there's so much false doctrine all over the place. The devil doesn't mind you carrying a Bible as long as you are ignorant of what is in it. Because he knows that when you know the truth, then he can't deceive you anymore. He can't lie to you anymore. Therefore, he has no means whatsoever of being able to succeed against you in his own antics. So once you know the truth, you are in a position to overcome him. So these disciples went and they came back, and all they could declare was that the name of Jesus was so powerful that all the devils that they encountered, when they applied the name of Jesus against those devils, every one of them was subdued through the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Now, if the name of Jesus worked then, how much more now? that name worked before Jesus died and rose from the dead. How much more you and I that are now living on the resurrection side of Jesus. They used the name while Jesus was alive. And the name worked so much. I tell you, that name will work much more now than then. Because my Bible tells me, turn with me quickly to John chapter 7. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ was not actually glorified while he was here on earth. He was only glorified after he had died and resurrected from the dead. So if the name worked so much before Jesus was glorified, how much more will that name work now? Now that he's glorified. You begin to see the power that we have as Christians and the authority that we have as Christians. But unfortunately, because of our ignorance and our slothfulness, we are not taking advantage of what God has given us. Many Christians still live in fear of the devil because they don't even know that they have authority over the devil. You see, if we are ignorant, then we are the ones shortchanging ourselves. God said in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people, he's not talking about those who don't belong to him, he's talking about people who belong to him, Christians. He said, my people, they perish because of lack of knowledge. Not because of the devil, but because of their ignorance. In other words, the devil is taking advantage of them because they are ignorant of who they are and what they have. The moment you know who you are and you know what you have as a Christian, I tell you, you will put the devil right where he belongs, under the soles of your feet. You will never live in fear of him. You will never be afraid of any devil or any evil because you know that they are all subject to you through the name of Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. Now look at what the Bible says there in John chapter 7. Oh, I tell you, we just need to get to know the truth. That's all. That is what we need to make us free and put us steps ahead of the enemy at all times. Verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, now please underline your Bible, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was not yet glorified while he was here on earth. But thank God he was glorified on resurrection morning. When he conquered death forever and rose from the grave, he was fully glorified. Remember that while he was here on earth, before he finally went to face the cross, in John chapter 17, he himself began to pray that the Father should give him the glory that he had with him from the foundation of the world. Why? Because when Jesus left heaven, he left the glory that he had with the Father right there in heaven. He didn't bring it to this earth because Bible says he stripped himself of all that in Philippians chapter 2, and he took him upon himself the nature of man, the nature of a servant, and came in the fashion of humanity in order to identify with us in our low estate and raise us up from the miry clay and put us back upon the solid ground from where we fell in Adam. But thank God, when he conquered death, he picked up that glory in the fullness that he had it with the Father from the foundation of the world. Because he has now finished the work. He has conquered death forever. Death has lost its sting. And everybody that has faith in Jesus now don't die anymore because they have eternal life in them. You see, eternal life cannot die. That's just the simple truth. You know, we know we still weep for Christians and we say, okay, they die. But you see, they just changed address. They left this world and they've gone into glory. But unbelievers, when they leave this world, they don't go into glory. They don't go up above. They go down below. Because there's no way they can go up above. They don't have the glory of Jesus Christ that can take them to heaven. Thank God that Jesus was glorified after his death and resurrection. Now, what are we saying? The name that we now have. Turn with me now quickly to Philippians chapter 2. The name of Jesus that we now have is actually superior to the name of Jesus that those disciples had that we just read about in Luke chapter 10. And yet, what they had then made Jesus to declare unto them, behold, I give unto you, in verse 19 of that same Luke chapter 10, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and overhaul, not some, all the power of the enemy. And nothing, notice, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, if Jesus said nothing shall by any means hurt us, that means there is no activity of the devil that will prosper against us as Christians. Jesus cannot lie. But then how come the devil is still succeeding against many of us as Christians? Because we are ignorant and because we are not applying faith to what Jesus has said. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. That's why Bible says when we hold up our shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, when we hold up that shield of faith, we shall be able to quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't care how devilish that demon is. He cannot succeed against you. You have authority over him. You have authority over him. So say to your neighbor, don't be afraid of the devil. You don't belong in his kingdom. And he has no authority over you. Jesus, your master, is Lord over all. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. I'll read quickly from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now notice verse 9. Now wherefore, key word now, wherefore, begin to pay attention now. We'll see that the name of Jesus that we now have is superior to what those disciples that walked with Jesus heard. Wherefore, in other words, as a result of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How and why? That's the question now. How and why did God give to his son Jesus this name that Bible says has authority over every other name? Again, because he was obedient to the point of dying on the cross. Why? Because through death, it destroyed him, Bible says, that had the power of death. That is the devil. If Jesus had not died, then he would not have been able to destroy all the power of the devil. So he died, and through death, it destroyed the devil totally in all his evil works. And he set at liberty all those who through fear of death at all their lifetime been subject to bondage. You see, the devil held humanity in bondage because of the sin of Adam. And he tormented man because of that sin. And Jesus destroyed him. and set those who belong to him free. So if you belong to Jesus, you are free from the devil. He sets you free, so you keep yourself free by faith on a daily basis. You understand what Jesus has done for you? Don't let any man deceive you and tell you you still need some special deliverance. Jesus set you free. What you need now is to know what Jesus has done for you and stand your ground in faith. Your shield of faith will quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. It's as simple as that. Not some of them. All of them. All of them. All of them. Every one of them. So wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Well, if that's all Bible says, then we should just fold our hands and say, praise God. God has already given Jesus a name above all names. I'm just going to go to bed and sleep and take it easy. But look at the next verse. Say to your neighbor, you have responsibility to do something with the name of Jesus in order to get the result. Amen. If we don't understand verse 10, then we'll miss out on the privileges that are available for us through that name. Well, God has given the name to his son, and that name is above all names. But how does that apply to me? How does that profit me? Well, I have to use the name. Verse 10 says that at the name. So which means I have to use this name. Because if I don't use it, then I can't get the result in my life personally. God has done his part. But what am I doing on my own side now? God doesn't do it alone. He does it with us. He said, you are my battle axes and my weapons of war. With you. Not apart from you. So we have to work together with God to enjoy the victory that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. God has done his part and finished the work. God is not going to bring his son back to die again. He has done it once and for all. But now we have to live by faith based on the understanding of what the Bible says concerning us who are in Christ Jesus. The just shall live by faith. And that faith, turn with me also quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. Once we understand all this, I tell you, God wants his church to arise from spiritual deadness and spiritual slumber. Arise, thou that sleepest, awake. Bible also says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. How we need the light in the midst of the darkness that is in the world. If we don't have the light, we'll be just like them. We'll fear like they fear. Imagine a Christian will be so afraid of the devil he can't go out of his house anymore. It's because the Christian doesn't know who he is and what God has done for him. There's no fear for a Christian. Even David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall fear no evil. He didn't say, I'll fear some evil. I shall fear no one. Because I know the Lord who is my shepherd. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able. Please underline, you shall be able. So what will happen if I don't have the shield of faith? Then I don't have the ability. It's as simple as that. But notice, Bible says here, take. Again, there's responsibility. You are the one to take up that shield. Don't fold your hands and say, praise God, I'm born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm heaven bound. Praise God. How about before you go to heaven? Are you going to live a defeated life here? Before you go then? God has not given birth to children that should be defeated by the enemy. Imagine you and I as parents. Would we love our children to be defeated by any circumstance of life? No. We want our children to win. We want our children to succeed at all times. Not sometimes, but all the time. And that's God's design for us as his church. to win always, to succeed always, to have victory always, not to have victory 99% and then defeat 1%. No, there is no defeat in God. God is always a winner. And so his children are always winners too. Like father, like children. But you see, we have to walk by faith like God, our father, also walks by faith. God is a God of faith. And so, the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Please underline the word all. All of them. Not some of them. All the fiery darts of the wicked. God says we have ability to put out, to destroy, to extinguish every weapon the devil throws against us in life. You see that God's plan is for us to win and overcome in every situation. But notice here, as we also know in several other places in the Bible, God didn't say here, well, once you have your shield of faith, the devil will not attack you. Is that what God said? The devil didn't say the devil won't throw arrows against you or fiery darts against you. But God says, when you hold your shield up, every attack the devil brings against you will fail. That's the key. So that will help us to put things in right perspective. Many of us think that because we are Christians, we are not going to have challenges. Because we are Christians, we are not going to have trouble. Well, if that's your understanding of Christianity, your understanding is wrong. My Bible tells me many, not few, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you see, ignorant Christians, when they see other Christians going through hard times, they will begin to judge them wrongly because they are ignorant. They don't even understand what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about overcoming and then entering into glory with Jesus, just as Jesus has come to the earth and overcome and is in glory. Who are those that Jesus said he will grant to sit with him in the Father's kingdom? Those who never overcame anything, is the overcomers. You are not an overcomer unless you go through hardship. You have to go through hardship and overcome them. You have to overcome the attacks of the enemy for you to get in the kingdom, just like Jesus did. That's why we need to understand the truth. So when you have a problem, don't be sorrowful. In fact, begin to dance and rejoice and say, praise God. It's another time to hold up my shield of faith and get God to be glorified in my life and get the devil to be put to shame. Don't run away from battle. Be like David. Run to the battle. When you know that God is on your side, you don't run away from any battle. You run and face the battle. Because you know you're a winner at all times. Didn't David look at Goliath and say, who are you, this uncircumcised Philistine? But note, King Saul and all the army of Israel, they were running away from the giant because they were ignorant of the covenant that God had with them. But David, who was not ignorant, said, you this giant, you are an uncircumcised thing. You don't have a right to challenge the people of God. They are covenant children of God. Who are you? Today, I'm going to take your head off from your neck. And David Goliath looked at the small boy. All the big boys run from me. Who is this little rat? Where did he come from? He doesn't even have any weapon. And look at all his big brothers. They have weapon, they run. He doesn't even have any weapon. Who are you? You don't even have anything to fight with. But he didn't know that David was trusting in Jehovah. Jehovah who never loses a battle. When you trust in the name of Jesus, you can never lose any battle. That's the key. And that's why the only way we can live as Christians to have victory is by faith. Because faith is trusting in Jesus the Word. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. With the shield of faith, we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Say to your neighbor, if you've been living in fear, let it end today. put your trust in Jesus. Jesus has already defeated the devil for you. And by the authority of his name, you will overcome everything the devil brings against you in this life. Amen and amen. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 18. So how then do we apply this truth to our lives? That's where we are going this morning. Verse 10 again says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. So again, like we already said, there is a responsibility on our part. We have to run into that name, just like we have to take up our shield of faith. We have a part to play. We don't fold our hands and expect everything to just be okay. No, we have to live by faith, because faith without works is dead, being alone. Please write this down. To be saved here literally means to be set on high out of danger. The righteous run into it and they are saved. In other words, the righteous run into the name of Jesus and they are set on high. In other words, above all else. Why? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. When you run into that name holds you above everything and everyone else. So already you overcome. You are above all. You are out of danger. Someone says, is that possible? Well, while we are still, now we are in Proverbs. Let's turn quickly to the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 27. I tell you, David, because he was a man after God's heart, and as Bible says, he was not just a king, he was also a prophet. So God placed upon him the anointing of a king and the anointing of a prophet. And so he was able to see so many things about Jesus even before Jesus came to this earth. And he began to declare his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things he said here is so marvelous. You know, and yet many of us who are living under a better covenant don't even understand it. And he understood it very, very clearly. The first verse gives us the key. It said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Obviously, it's talking about Jesus now, the Savior. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, look at what it then goes on to say in verse 5. It said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now look at the next verse. And now shall my head be lifted up above. You see the key? I'll be lifted up above. I can't lift myself up, but the Lord, my Savior, will lift me up above all of my enemies. Not some of them. All of them round about me. So when God says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and they are saved. God is saying the righteous run into that name and they are lifted up above every trouble, every evil, every enemy, and they are kept from all activities of the evil one. That is the place of our safety and our security. That is the place you and I have to run to on a daily basis. Don't wake up in the morning and just walk out of your house carelessly. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on his name like a garment that day. And say, as I go out in the name of Jesus. My faith is in that name. Every enemy that comes against me this day, they fall for my sake, because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is my strong tower. I run into it by my faith in him this morning. And you begin to praise Jesus before you go out of your house. I tell you, when the devil sees you from afar, he will begin to shake. He will run out of your way. He won't even cross your path. When the devil sees you coming this way, he will run in the other direction. Because he can see the glory of God upon you like a dress. Why? Because by faith you put on that name before you left house. In Ephesians 6, Bible tells us we have to put on the whole armor of God. Say to your neighbor, you need to dress yourself well every day by putting on the name of Jesus like a garment. Amen. That's the key. You have to deliberately release your faith in that name and confess it and put it on by faith and trust in that name. I tell you, the devil will know when he sees you from afar. Like he knew when he saw Jesus from afar while he was here on earth. Remember those demons? When they saw Jesus from afar, they began to cry. Jesus, we know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time? You see the key? The devil knows that they will be tormented by Jesus. Not the other way around. They can't torment Jesus, you see. So when you put on the name of Jesus, the devil can't torment you. You are the one to torment him. They know. They know the name. They know the name. All those devils know the name. I don't care what they are called by, demon of whatever. You don't need to even know their name. Just know the name of Jesus. Sort all of them out. Don't be like some people trying to make a show. Say, devil, what's your name? Because Jesus said that. But how many times did Jesus ask the name of a devil in the Bible? It was just on that occasion. So you don't need to go about saying, what's your name, devil? What's your name? Hey? The devil will just deceive you somehow. Just in the name of Jesus, I come against you. Whatever you are, I bind you in Jesus' name. That's all. They are all subject to the name of Jesus, like the disciple says. Alright, so that's the key. So God, when you release your faith and run into that name of Jesus, God will raise you up above all the troubles, above all the evil, and keep you from every harm and every danger. Say to your neighbor, God will keep you from all danger when you run into the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Again, as we said earlier, the mistake many of us make is to just believe that because we are believers, we've confessed Jesus, we've already run into the name. Well, praise God, we opened the door through our confession to come into that name and to have that name, like Peter said in Acts chapter 3, such as I have, give I thee. But you see, you have to then learn how to daily run into that name. You see, they just have to live by faith daily. Don't try to live today by yesterday's faith. Yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. The mercies of God are new every morning. The faith of the Christian has to be applied on a daily basis. The just shall live by faith. We get too slothful. That's the problem. You have to actively, deliberately release your faith daily in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like you every day declare the blood of Jesus over your life. Just like every day you study the Bible and pray. That's the life of a Christian. You have to take advantage of the resources that God has given you in order to live victoriously in this present life. You can't fold your hands and expect God to just do it all. God has already done his part. What are you now doing with what God has given to you? You see, if we don't use what we have, then we can't gain the fruit or the resources or promises that God has prepared for us in our generation. So that name is our strong tower. The word strong tower simply means a place of refuge. A place of refuge is a place where you run to when there is danger. It's a place that is fortified. A place where the enemy cannot penetrate. You see? So when you run to the name of Jesus, the devil can't pursue you into that name. That is the place where nothing can touch you. It is a place where God keeps us and keeps us safe indeed. I tell you, we need to run into that name daily. Now, okay, let's also look at Psalm 118 before we just highlight a couple of things and pray. Psalm 118. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Name above all names. From verse 10. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. I love this. You know how swarms of bees, how they attack. You can't even count them. And they have deadly sting, you know. When the bees attack you, they are not playing with you. They want to sting you. But look at the psalmist here releasing his faith in the name and saying all of them put together will be destroyed by the name of Jesus. Why? Because that name is my strong tower. I run into it and I'm saved. And that name, while it keeps me safe, also becomes a rock of offense against the enemy. God will not only keep you safe when you run into that name. He will now rebuke the enemy for you, even for trying to harm you in the first instance. See the advantage of the name? So powerful. So very, very powerful. So how do I run into that name as an individual? Two key things we need to do in order to ensure we run into that name on a daily basis. Number one, as we have been sharing, is to have faith in that name. In other words, we have to believe and trust in that name and rely on it. Let's turn quickly to Acts chapter 3. In front of that, just write Acts chapter 3 verse 16, Psalm 18 verse 2, Psalm chapter 9 verses 9 and 10. Let's quickly look at those. You see, you have to have faith. Don't just say, well, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I have the name of Jesus, you see. But what are you doing with the name you have? If you are a Christian, true, you have the name. You have the name because you are not part and parcel of Jesus Christ through your faith in him. But then you have to learn to then have faith in that name on a daily basis. Don't just take things for granted. That's where you and I many times miss the mark, because we take things for granted. Oh, praise God, I'm a Christian. I already, you know, belong to Jesus. He's just going to do everything for me. Well, he has already done everything for you. What are you now doing? That's the question. What are you doing with what he has given you? What are you doing with the instructions he gave you? Because faith without works is dead, me alone. Acts chapter 3 verse 16. Before we look at verse 16, let's look at verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Notice such as I have. So if you are a Christian, you have the name of Jesus. But that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. For that name to work for you. Because what you have and you don't know how to use is useless. If I go and buy a TV and I don't know how to operate it, I can go tell everybody I have a TV in my house, but I'm not benefiting from it because I don't know how to use it. So having something is one thing. Knowing how to use it to advantage is another. So Peter said, well, I have the name of Jesus, and that is common to every Christian. If you are a Christian, you already have the name of Jesus. But that doesn't mean the name is working for you until you know how to use the name. And so look at verse 16. That is how to use the name that you have. And his name, through faith in his name, that's the key. I have the name, now I have to release my faith in that name by actively allowing that name to be my trust and my confidence in every situation. And then we shall see how to then practically do that, you know, in terms of working out that faith in physical steps. Now, verse 16 again says, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, Peter had the name, then he had faith in the name. Say to your neighbor, you must have faith in the name of Jesus, which you already have. Amen. So you already have the name of Jesus, but now you have to have faith in that name. You have to believe on that name with all your heart. Trust and rely on that name. Don't try to rely on yourself or rely on man. No, 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 no. The arm of flesh will fail you. But rely on Jesus, who never fails. Psalm chapter 18. And verse 2. Let's read together. Let's go. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and they are saved. But notice here in verse 2, it says, I will trust. I will rely on that name. Because there's no point having the name and not trusting in it. Don't be like the children of Ephraim. As Bible says in Psalm chapter 78, they were fully armed. They carried bows and arrows. But in the day of battle, they ran. Have you seen... Have you seen soldiers with weapons running away from war? You're supposed to face the war. But they had weapons. And then this is where the battle is. They were running away with their weapons. Because Bible says their heart were not steadfast with God. That's the key. They had the weapons on the outside, but the heart was not connected. Without faith, our hearts are not connected. We can do all the motions of religion, but that won't profit us. We have to have faith in that name. Trust in that name. Rely on that name. Psalm chapter 9. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Name above all names. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Let us read together. Let's go. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Notice again, you have to put your trust in that name. If you know the name, then trust in that name. Why would you know the name of Jesus and be afraid of any evil? Why would you know the name of Jesus and be afraid of any circumstance? When God already tells you that name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Then why should I be afraid of anything else when I know that name? But the problem is we don't know. We have the name. We don't know how to use what we have. So, that's the first thing to know about running into the name of Jesus. You have to have faith in that name. And then secondly, you have to call upon the name. Those are the two things you need to know about the name of Jesus. I have to have faith in that name, then I have to call upon the name of Jesus. And there are two key ways of calling upon the name of Jesus. Let's quickly look at them. But before we do that, let's look at Psalm chapter 18. First and foremost, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 3. We were there a short while ago. We read verse 2. But now let us read verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You see, in verse 2 he said, I will trust in that name. Why? Because he's my refuge. You see, I will trust in the name. He's my high tower. I will trust in the name. But then, I will then call. When you trust, then you have to show your trust by your action. You have to show your faith by your works. If I believe that the name of Jesus will give me victory, then I will use that name against the situation. I will speak to that circumstance in the name of Jesus to get the result. So that's what he's saying here. I will call upon that name. I will call upon that name. I will call upon that name. So how do we call upon the name of Jesus? In two ways. Number one, in prayer. And number two, in praise. In prayer, please write these two scriptures. John chapter 14, verse 13. And John chapter 16, verse 23. Let's quickly look at those. And then in praise, we shall look at the scriptures for that in a short while. But Jesus himself said here, in John chapter 14, that when we call on his name literally in prayer, we will get results. So if you have been praying and doubting your prayer, you have to have faith that when you pray in the name of Jesus, you get results. It's as simple as that. God said so. It doesn't have to do with your feelings. It doesn't have to do with how you look or how the situation looks. Just believe. That's all. And trust God that what he says, he will do. He will do. He will not fail. He's not a man that he should fail. There's no point in doubting. After you prayed and then you doubt again about the situation, then you didn't pray in faith. The prayer of faith settles the matter forever. Because you know the matter is now in the hands of Jesus. You've called upon his name. And you're going to wait patiently for him to manifest the answer in the physical realm for you. John chapter 14, verse 13. Jesus himself said, let's read together. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The next verse, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Who will do it? You? No, Jesus himself. Thank God Jesus didn't say you will do it or I will do it. Because we can fail. Isn't that so? He said he himself will do it. So what is our part? To ask in that name. Trusting in that name. Having faith in that name. Relying on that name. And to make that demand in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said he will do it. So when you stand before a mountain in your life, an obstacle, and you say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, mountain, I command you to be removed out of my path in life. Well, you have to trust that that mountain will go because Jesus will remove it. But if you are still there sweating with the mountain, and then you look at the mountain, say, but the problem is still there. I've been screaming the name of Jesus for the past 10 hours, but nothing has happened. Well, the devil is already lying to you and you are believing his lies because you are walking by sight instead of by faith. When you are walking by faith, once you call on the name of Jesus, if you know that name and you have faith in that name, you don't struggle with the situation because you know Jesus is the one going to do it. So you just speak in that name and you turn away. And then when the devil whispers to you and says, can't you see the problem is still there? He says, shut up, devil. The name of Jesus never fails. Then he will leave you alone. He will know you've discovered the truth. But if you are still there, say, but it's true, the problem is still there. Maybe I didn't scream hard enough. And then you look, the problem is there. Then they will say, so you see, you're a sinner. That's why the problem is not going. Then it will confuse you and confuse you so much until at the end of the day, you just give up. Because you are not walking by faith. You don't know the authority that is in that name. At that name, every knee will bow. So when you say in the name of Jesus, that situation has no choice but to bow. Because Jesus himself will do it. John chapter 16. And verse 23, let's read together. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Again, this is Jesus talking. And saying, when we ask the Father anything in his name, the Father will give it to us. In the first one we looked at, Jesus is telling us to ask something in his name, not to ask the Father, but to ask, make a demand on a situation in his name. That's why I gave you the example of a mountain. And you speak to that situation directly in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 14, verse 13. We are not praying to God now. We are addressing a circumstance in our lives because we know that that circumstance is contrary to the will of God for us. So we are facing the mountain directly and speaking to that mountain directly in the name of Jesus. And Jesus will take care of it. But then there are times when we need to ask the Father. We can't face the situation directly. We need to ask the Father. For instance, I don't know what to do. I lack wisdom. I'm not going to face the situation and be speaking to him. I don't even know what to do. So I'm going to have to go to God and say, Father, you are the source of wisdom. I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom, Lord. You said if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask of you. And so I ask in the name of Jesus for guidance in this situation, in Jesus' name. Then Jesus said, the Father will give it to you. Again, because the name of Jesus has authority in all the realms of creation, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, forevermore. So finally, praise. So that's the second way of calling upon the name of Jesus. We call upon his name in praise. Psalm chapter 34. Verses 1 to 6, Psalm 113, verse 3. Let's look at those scriptures as we close. Psalm chapter 34. Thank God for the name of Jesus. So you wake up every morning, release your faith in that name, put your trust in that name. Before you leave house, confess that name of Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus, and praise in the name of Jesus. I tell you, that will be a day of victory for you. Then when tomorrow comes, you do exactly the same. You have to do it every day. Every day. Every day. We have to live by faith every day. That's the key. Psalm chapter 34 from verse 1 to 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I love that. God is in the business of saving his people out of all their troubles. So when you have a trouble, don't be sorrowful. God will save you out of it, but you have to put your faith in the name of Jesus and call upon that name and praise God for that name. You know, you say, Father, I thank you for the name above all names. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the name of Jesus to use. I have that name already because I'm one family with you, Lord. Thank you for the name. I now release my faith in the name of Jesus. And I magnify that name above these troubles that I have. I exalt the name of Jesus. Name above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that at your name, all these troubles in my life, they bow. They bow and they become a thing of the past in the name of Jesus. And you begin to worship God. And you see how Jesus takes care of the situation for you because he inhabits the praises of his people according to Psalm 22 verse 3. So Psalm 113 verse 3. Thank God for the name. In fact, if you don't remember anything else in any difficult situation in your life, please remember the name Jesus. Mentioning that name in faith will take care of that situation. I tell you, you may not know many scriptures, but when you know the name and you have faith in that name, you've known what it takes to have victory in that situation. Because that situation will bow to the name of Jesus when you have faith in that name. Psalm 113, verse 3, but let's read it from verse 1 in context. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Ha, 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 ha. Imagine if you and I as Christians begin to obey this word. We won't have any time to think about our troubles. We won't have any time to be sorrowful. We won't have any time to think of any fear. Because while we are praising the name of Jesus, the glory of God is coming down upon us. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why the psalmist said, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. Just praise God all day long. It doesn't take you much to say thank you, Jesus. Even while you are in the kitchen cooking, you're saying praise God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you are my Savior. I thank you for the name that you've given me. That is my strong tower. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord Jesus, for all you have done for me. I thank you, Jesus. You're walking by the road. You're thinking of Jesus and praising his name. You're just magnifying his name. I tell you, when you begin to do that, all the problems that you know you have been worrying about, they'll become like a little thing. You'll even begin to look at all the things. I say, but why was I even bothering myself about this thing? They are but little things. Jesus is Lord. His name is above all of them put together. Why? Because while you are praising that name, the spirit of faith is rising up in you and giving you a new perspective to all those situations. Because your praising Jesus lifts you above all of them. Then you can look from above and see that, but they are but little things. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist said, magnify the Lord with me. Don't magnify your trouble. Magnify the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus all day long. Hallelujah. Let's just praise his name before we go this morning. It does not matter what your need may be. It does not matter what your circumstances may be. I want to first and foremost to roll those cares upon him. Commune with the Lord from your heart. And say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You have given me your name to use. I believe that that name is my strong tower. I run into your name, Lord Jesus, for safety and for victory over all my circumstances, for safety from every plan of the enemy and all kinds of evil of this present generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give me victory over all the situations that are contrary to your will in my life. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That through you I do valiantly. For it is you that shall tread down all my enemies. I put my trust in your name, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for giving me the victory. Now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now wave your hands to him. Amen. And I just sing a couple of songs to magnify the name of Jesus. You see, while you are magnifying that name, it will take care of the troubles. Someone says, but is that all it takes? That's too easy. I have to pray, you know, for 10 hours to get the victory. Well, you are walking in the flesh. It's as simple as that. The prayer of faith is not works. The prayer of faith leads you to grace. And Bible says when you are living by grace, it is different from works. When something is of grace, it's no longer works. But when it is of works, then it is no longer grace. So you have to choose whether you want to go by works or go by grace. Faith always leads into grace, not into working it out on our own. No, the work of faith is to believe in what Jesus has already done and to access it by confident assurance and full persuasion in Jesus Christ alone. It's all about Jesus. None of self, but all of him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember in 2 Chronicles, before we sing some songs of praise, you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you all know what is there, how Jehoshaphat and all those enemy nations, there were so many that came against Judah. And Jehoshaphat was honest. You see, he went to God and said, God, We don't have any might against these enemies. We don't even know what to do. Where do we start from? They are stronger than us. We don't have enough army to face them. But our eyes are on you. And what plan did God give him? The same plan for bringing the wall of Jericho now. Said, just praise me. You don't need to fight in this battle. The battle is mine. Just praise me. That's all. Just praise me. Just magnify me. Just give me a place to come and rule and reign over the enemy for you. Because that's what praise does. Praise gives God the platform to come and take his place and rule over your enemy and rebuke the enemy for you and destroy all the strongholds and give you liberty, because the battle is the Lord's. And Bible says when they began to praise, the Lord himself set an ambushment against all those enemies. And they turned against one another. You see, they came together, but they now began to fight each other. God knows how to put confusion in the camp of your enemies. Don't bother about how many people ganging up against you. God will scatter all of them. And they will turn against each other. That was what God did. And then God turned the whole situation into blessing for his people. Well, let's rise to our feet and just praise the name of Jesus this morning. Let's sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. That's why you can trust him at all times. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did before, he's still doing today. And what he's doing today, he will do forever. It doesn't change. That name is your strong tower today, just as it was a strong tower in the days of David. And it will be a strong tower in the days of your children and your children's children, as long as Jesus tarries. The name never fails. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's always just the same. So praise his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. So praise his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. So praise his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. So praise his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Your name is above all names. Your power is above all power. Your glory, your glory fills this place. Your name is above all names. As you sing it, see his name above all your troubles this morning. Your name is above all names. Your power is above all power. Your glory, your glory fills this place. One more time. Your name is above all names. Your name is above all names. Your power is above all power. Your glory, your glory fills this place. Emmanuel, 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 your name is called Emmanuel. Your God with us, revealed in us. Your name is called Emmanuel. Lift your hands and sing, Emmanuel is with you to take care of all your needs this morning. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, your name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. Your name is called Jesus. We thank you for your presence here this morning to bless every one of us. We stand in the gap for members of the church who are not here also, that you will extend your mercies to them where they are, and you'd reveal the authority of your name to them and in their various circumstances. Thank you for those of us here this morning. You know every one of us. You know every circumstances of our lives. You know things that ought not to be in our lives, which the enemy has brought against us. We leave every one of them at your footstool. Because at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we thank you that every one of us goes from this place this morning in the liberty wherewith you have made us free. We give you all the glory, Lord, for whosoever you have set free, as it is written, Lord Jesus, shall be free indeed. Every child in this church, every youth in this church, every adult in this church, every family, every household in this church, we declare liberty for everyone through the authority of the name of Jesus. Liberty from everything contrary to the will of God in all aspects of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the excellency of your name that prevails for every one of us. For we run into your name, Lord Jesus, corporately here this morning. And we thank you that we are all safe. In Jesus' name, lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him. You are safe. You are safe. Just declare that name every day of your life. Put your trust in that name.